Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, planet Earth. It's June the 27th, 2021. In the year of a Boblimpdoc, just after 10:14 a.m. Can you hear the bell? It's ringing for you. Bells ringing for you. The bells ringing. The bell's ringing for you. I can hear it. The old church is on fire. The neighborhood is being hunted by wildebeest stalkers. Someplace in the night. It's the planetary status report. I can tell you the status is great. Yeah, it's great. The status of the planetoid Earth as we hurtle into the infinity of space, if you believe in that nonsense. The status of the Earth is wonderful. Elon Musk will hurtle humans to the moon soon. Soon we'll be living on Mars. We'll have hookers on Mars. Soon we'll be getting drunk and getting cancer on Mars. Soon we'll be falling in love on the red planet. Soon we'll be getting married on Olympus Mons. Soon we'll be getting divorced. It'll be really sad. I flubbed it. Imagine you're a parent, you're a mother or a father, you're a parent. And you have an old beat up car because your kids are going to drive soon. You want to let them drive the car. It'll be good for a couple more years. When you think about the crusted out, rusted out United States of America, as it currently exists. And I know there are folks out there who will say, Dan, I served my country in uniform. I fought in the deserts against the people I was told to kill. And I understand this. I never served in combat, but I did wear the uniform. And I suppose if there had ever been bullets fired my direction, I would have had a choice to stand and fight with my brothers and sisters in arms or to not fight. I never had to make that choice. But did I wear the uniform? Yep. Peacetime Army. I was stationed in Korea for a year. I got to know the Asian magic. I got to know Asian magic. So you're a parent, you have an old rusted out car. The car is the United States of America. And you're going to make promises. You're going to say, you're going to have reparations. And some farmers, based on the color of their skin, will get more help than others. And we're going to do all this critical race theory garbage. And it is garbage. Critical race theory basically amounts to Frankfurt School neo-Marxist, you know, Marcuse nonsense. Do your own research. Research neo-Marxism. But critical race theory is nonsense. The smartest thing you can do with respect to the subject of racism is move on. All of us. Especially the racists. And if people feel so racist they can't control themselves, then I think that is a kind of mental disorder potentially, but it's not really a political philosophy. It's a mental illness. It's like some kind of weird OCD or autism, whereby a person sees the world in really cartoonish ways. That's the way racists see the world. Frankly, that's the way communists see the world. So in a way, Marxism is also on the autistic spectrum. Marxists don't really see the world right, neither do racists. They see colors and money. They see certain types of people getting rich, supposedly. And so they, being autistic, draw simple conclusions. Money makes people bad. That's why I'm a communist. Oh, look, the rich people. Their skin has a certain color. Their face has a certain shape. They must be bad based upon, you know, the color of their skin. If you ask me, and I'm a crazy person, but if you ask me, racism is on the autistic spectrum, along with communism and being a robot. And, you know, I love dogs, but dogs act a little strange too. So throw them on there, and especially the cartoonists. In fact, cartoonists are really a subclass of the autistic spectrum known as racism. All cartoonists are racist and autistic, ergo, subclass. All cartoonists are racist. You know, and I know, Dan, that's mean. I know cartoonists who try to break. No, you don't. Because if you look at how they draw the world, it's a pretty kind of simplistic view of the world. I'm not saying it's wrong in any absolute sense. The reality is human beings, we look for patterns. And whether we want to accept it or not, patterns can be simple or patterns can be complicated. And the easiest patterns to work with are simple ones. There was a bad thing that happened to my friend Mugat. Imagine it's 40,000 years BC. We just traveled through a time tunnel. You just did one of those, you know, altered states, Bill Hurt kind of like. You took the wrong mushroom thingies in the isolation chamber. You're in the year 40,000 BC. And it's crazy. It's crazy. It's the year 40,000 BC. It's the year 40,000 BC, and your buddy Mugat got killed yesterday. He got killed near the green, green bush, near the rocky, rocky hillside, hurt, hurt place. He got hurt near the kill place we're not supposed to go to because bad. And I saw a color in the distance, and it was a color, and it's now a bad color. And then along came a wolf. Along came a wolf. The wolf was named Loki. He said, "Human man, I see that you understand. The world is a cartoon filled with fools, but a lot can be told through simple stereotypes. I love you, human man. You're a bit autistic, just like me." I mean, what if the Neanderthal people were mostly not autistic? And what if one of the essential features of Homo sapiens is we just ridiculously oversimplify the world so obsessively it's no accident? Anyways, on the topic of the old beat-up car, what if Obama being president, what if the reparations talk, what if all the nonsense is the equivalent of handing the keys of an old beat-up car to your teenage kids? And this is not a statement on whether or not certain races are mature or not. That's not the point. The point is the car's beat up, the car's engine is blown out, and now you're saying at the end of the day, when there's virtually nothing left over, you're going to make up for all the terrible things you did. And so you do this. You go out on a limb to make promises you know you'll never have to keep. In fact, you know what a better example of this is? The old dying drunk uncle. The old dying drunk uncle. The old dying drunk uncle knows that he's gonna die. His insides are melted, ready for the buzzards. The old dying drunk uncle knows he'll be dead very soon. Very soon. And so he goes around making promises. "Hey, I'll give you reparations, and I'll make up for the slavery, and we'll make up for what we did to Native Americans, and we'll write a bunch of, you know, forgive me letters, and, you know, I'm sorry letters and apologies. We'll write apologies to everybody we think we should, because we're an old dying drunk uncle, and we know something they don't know, that I'm dying." This is the key. The old dying drunk uncle doesn't tell you that they're dying. They just go around making promises. Because they know they'll never have to keep the promises, it's all good. So when I think about the Obama presidency, as bizarre as it was, and it was bizarre, and I think about the mayor of Washington, D.C., Joseph Biden, the current quote-unquote president, but I just don't see it, folks. It's like the FEMA camps. Somebody needs to take me to one, okay? Someone needs to show me all that crap. I have been told mythologies and BS and PSYOP nonsense, even from people I think I know. I have been fed BS stories, but with my own eyes, I have seen none of it. All I'm seeing are Quaker guns. Most of you crazy people out there, you see Prussian howitzers. I see big old wooden logs painted black. Check your optics. No, I don't see the evidence of any of these things happening, being feasible, they will ever happen. If we're really lucky, and this is really critical because I think we're close to the next shift in the game. The next shift. game's about the shift. And so a lot of people are getting obsessed about critical race theory and all the nonsense promises that the mayor of Washington, D.C. is making, a.k.a. Mayor Boomer, a.k.a., you know, I guess you call him the president, but the president of what? A dumpster fire? I have folks I know who've sent me emails about how they're afraid very soon because of the Delta variant. The Delta variant. The Delta variant, it'll turn you 100% green. Delta variant, it'll turn you green. Person send me an email how they're afraid that the Delta variant very, very soon is going to give a reason for the army to come by people's homes with cops and people in lab coats. And here's the thing, a year ago, I was willing to accept the hypothesis that this could be some creepy kind of medical power grab. I could not see it working anywhere but the cities, but mainly because the cities are cult centers for the state. So when the government tells people in the cities to take some untested medical treatment that, you know, might not kill them, but then if it might not kill them, it probably won't help them against imaginary viruses. Yeah, people in the cities will take that. People will in the cities will be okay with fluoridated water. People in the cities will basically obey the system to the point of death. That's the city life, really. That, you know, it's funny. It was once said that the Constitution is not a suicide pact, but I can tell you something. Just about every city I have ever been to is a suicide cult. Worse than that Applewhite guy or Furemaster Gergen. They all wore matching jumpsuits. They waited for Hail Bop. Others wait for the state. Because it's like a cargo cult, isn't it? It's a cargo cult. The government's a cargo cult. It, you know, it pays off as long as it does, right? And then eventually it stops working, and nobody likes to talk about that. Eventually it does stop working. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to. It's just something we just don't want to discuss. So I'm going to move on to the next topic. Before I do, that long drawn out analogy to the old beat up car, maybe it is more like the old crazy dying uncle. The uncle that you don't know is dying, but is going around making promises. All these promises that are being made, all these threats, all these fear monkeys, all these psyops look like an empty nothing to me. Now, my email address, if you're listening on shortwave, and if you are listening on shortwave, this is WRMI out of Miami. This is the Planetary Status Report. This could be Saturday or Sunday night. Even though the time of this recording is June 27th, 2021, in the year of Bo Blimp Doc, I don't know when you're listening. But if you have a different interpretation of the madness that is overtaking human civilization, and it's not just a regurgitated communist manifesto or some weird regurgitated fear of communists, because guys, I think it's not about that, but if you're afraid of it, go ahead. Email me, even if it's about communism, because I will read your letters on the air. My email address is me@iamsully.com. And if you don't know, all my podcasts are available at iamsully.com. And also, if you're interested in the notes for this show, you just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie .org/shownotes. And you can get the notes for this show and you can learn more. You can learn more because it links to my blog. All of my raw MP3s are out there too. Go to dfgtc.org/MP3. It's all there. All of it. Next topic. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles: "Optimists die happy, pessimists die true." Dr. Freckles. I don't know if I want to spend too much time on that one because I feel like I beat the first topic like a dead horsey completely to death. But what I will say is this: you are who you are. I am who I am. I am 51 years old. If you magically think that I will become an optimist, even if the world somehow goes back to normal before Christmas, and I just don't see that happening. But let's say it does. Let's say this Christmas the world is normal as normal can be. I'm gonna start selling custom-made throwing knives for toddlers. No, I'm not going to sell throwing knives to toddlers. That would be just terrible. But the point is, maybe things do go back to normal. I don't see how. I don't know for certain what the next act in this play is. I am a Christian. The last couple weeks, I would say not a very good one. My prayers have been harsh. My faith with respect to the Lord's providence and control has been in question. I don't question the existence of God, but I have had the question of what is the plan right now? Because this could be just another crappy time in history. They've happened before. If you lived during the 14th century crisis, you might have thought the world was coming to an end. And before you go off and say, what does this have to do with pessimists and optimists? Let me get to my crooked point, bro. Okay? Just let me get there. If you lived in the 1350s in Europe, you might have thought the world was coming to an end. The worst calamities, not the least of which the Black Plague, were visiting themselves upon Western Europe and Central Europe at that time. I don't want to go down the whole laundry list, but there's a good book by Barbara Tuchman called The Distant Mirror. I highly recommend it. If you've never read The Guns of August by Barbara Tuchman, that's another good one too. Supposedly, John F. Kennedy read The Guns of August before, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I think that's urban legend. I don't know if you should ask Snopes, but I think it's urban legend. But anywho, A Distant Mirror by Barbara Tuchman. The thing is, if you lived at that time, your world was being torn asunder. There was one pope, then two popes, then three popes. You've got Mongols coming at you and Turks coming at you. You've got all kinds of chaos and the whole world is falling apart. You have the Hundred Years' War. You have everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And yet, 100 years later, there was something called the Renaissance. 100 years after one of the worst times in the history of Europe, there was the Renaissance. Think about it. So when you look at the world today, you kind of have to have a realistic lens. It's too easy for Christians, especially Christians that get dark like me, to say, well, it's the end times. I don't know that it's the end times. But what I do know from reading my book of Ecclesiastes is everything ends. Everything ends. Okay? It might not be the end times, but your life will end. My life will end. If you have a dog you love, no offense, please do not be offended, but one day that dog will die. If you have a cat you love, one day that cat will die. If you have an African gray parrot that can speak 600 words and makes funny jokes, after about 100 years, the parrot will die. Everything does end. So when people talk about, well, is this the end times? Is it the end of the world? That's not really the question people are asking. Because that's not really the scary question. The scary question isn't whether or not stuff ends. And if you've listened to my podcast before, you might think, though, this is broken record time because I've spoken about this before. But I think sometimes it's okay to reiterate. Okay? People are not afraid of dying. People are afraid of dying alone. Not all people. Some people, loners and hobos and hermits, and you know, I'm all of the above. Some of us kind of like are resigned to the idea that maybe we'll just die in our sleep in some poignant Irish drunken kind of way. And maybe there'll be blood spittle coming out of our mouths that the EMT finds. The body. And maybe some weird guy is playing on some bagpipes in the distance, oh Danny boy. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But the thing is, everybody's life ends. Most people, most normal people, want to be surrounded by loved ones when they die. They do. Because it's a reminder that their life had a purpose, that their life had an outcome, that something will live on. You know, you can think of this as the reptilian brain, atheist notion of immortality. This idea that at least I had a child. I, for example, have never had a kid, and the likelihood that I'll have a kid at this point in my life is approaching zero. And it's not just because of how old I am. That's a factor. That's a huge factor, but that's not the only issue. I don't think we're living in a time when raising a family is going to be an easy thing to do. It could be 20 years from now, 50 years from now. Remember, the 14th century crisis ended. It didn't last forever. It was not the end of the world. But if you lived in the 1350s, you might have the horrible, wretched reality that no one is left alive to bury you. That everyone in your town is dead. Dead from barbarians, dead from rivalries, mostly dead from the Black Plague, dead from the fact that people can't raise food, so that makes things worse. Dead. But it wasn't the end of the world. It was just a shitty time to be alive. And I hate to break it to you folks, for the human gumbo freaks, much of human history has been a shitty time to be alive. If you look at it as a Markov model, with states like we got technology, and another finite state label, it's shitty to be alive. Yeah, that state has a loop with a probability of 90%. But again, when I say it's hard to be alive or crappy to be alive, I use the S word, whatever, FCC, I don't mean life is pointless. Because here's another news flash. During the 14th century crisis, people still got married. People still had children. People were still happy. People were still sad. That's how incredibly interesting life is. That even during the worst of times, people can still find the best of times. Yeah, I'm ripping off a writer, whatever. But it's true. Even in the most difficult of times, there's still the stuff that makes life worth living. Okay? This is one of the things that makes me so angry about the doomers and the gloomers. In fact, I'm going to move on to the next topic. But anywho, optimists die happy, pessimists die true. If I had a choice, if I could have asked the Lord in heaven, make me one or the other, I think I'd prefer being an optimist. But that's not what I am. But I'm a smart enough pessimist to know that life is not just pain. Next topic. Next topic. All over social media, there are stories. My grandmother, who's 98, she did not feel so great. She died suddenly, and the doctors said it was COVID. My uncle, who is 72, he was riddled through and through with all kinds of poison from, you know, the wars, but he died suddenly and they said it was the COVID. My sister Sassafras, she smoked 7 packs a day. She drank straight whiskey after doing meth. She died suddenly of a heart attack. The heart attack was caused by the COVID. I can't verify any story I read like that. And you'd say, well, Dan, have you no heart? Yes, I do. I can tell you what I know at least a few of my siblings know for a fact, that while my sister Nancy was dying of cancer, her award-winning oncologist was lying to her and lying to the family. So please tell me that these healthcare professionals don't lie. They lie, they deceive. I've worked in healthcare, I've worked at hospitals. The only nice argument you could possibly make is that these healthcare professionals are on the same ethical normal curve as some random person you meet in the street. But for 2021, based upon all the mask wearers I see, I'm not sure that's a good thing. Because that random person probably has an empty nothing for a moral compass. There are people killing themselves. Okay? Let's talk about this for a second. I think the COVID is a psyop, which means that the COVID or the monkey herpes or whatever you want to call it, the Delta variant, to me, they're as real as Bigfoot. And in some ways, it's incredibly brilliant because a lot of people, especially these days, have been so hijacked by their germophobia that they're really just ready to be taken advantage of by people who will say, oh, you got the sniffles, you got the COVID. You got the shakes, you got the COVID. Sure, you haven't had a drink in 3 days, but it must be the COVID. Oh, you had a heart attack? It wasn't the meth, it was the COVID. People are primed for it from movies, from TV shows. People are primed for it. Here's the thing, though. I think the COVID is as real as Bigfoot. But people don't kill themselves because of Bigfoot. They really, really don't. I mean, maybe statistically, there's one in a gazillion who for some bizarre reason kills themselves because somebody said Bigfoot isn't real. But the thing is, the fear of Bigfoot does not cause suicides. It really doesn't. And yet, I can tell you that this COVID nonsense is causing people, young and old, and especially young, to harm themselves, to kill themselves, to give up. There are people out there who think that this COVID psyop might be more or less harmless, but how can it be harmless if you're telling people that there's a weird virus going around that's killing a bunch of people, there's nothing they can do, they have to live in a dystopia where important features of the human face are going to be covered up for how long? Forever. And you don't think people will kill themselves? Well, that's a curious belief on your part, if you ask me. You see, the thing about believing in Bigfoot or, you know, believing in Loch Ness Monster is that it probably doesn't create a state of fear or anxiety in people to the point of suicide. But these plagues throughout history, and they've happened throughout history, here's an important news flash. You don't need doctors to tell you that there's a plague. You don't need doctors to tell you that there's a sickness going around. Throughout history, long before the World Health Organization or the CDC ever existed, people did not need to be told that their neighbors were suddenly falling ill and then dying. Aren't you curious that they spend so much resources trying to convince you that something is there when clearly, based upon what I've seen with my own eyes, all I've seen is the wreckage from the fear of it. The wreckage of small businesses, the drug abuse, the self-abuse, the hopelessness, the suicide. There's plenty of evidence of that. But where is the evidence of the monkey herpes? Where is it? I know people will say, well, my aunt or my uncle, what if I told you your doctor was either A, lying to you on purpose, or B, simply didn't know better because your doctor was deceived? What if that's what happened? What if your physician, you know, let's play the Hanlon's razor game. It doesn't really matter in this case whether it's malicious intent or simple incompetence. I can tell you the healthcare system is so broken that it would be quite easy to rig tests to basically have every single death from any kind of weird illness, including suicides, and reclassify it as COVID-related. So I don't think it's harmless to post these stories. I get that some of you were told by a doctor that your grandma or grandpa died of the COVID. But what if the truth is they died of something else, or they were poisoned? What if the truth is you might have people you know in rest homes right now being tortured to death because of a lie? And I mean tortured to death, because basically having people walk around with all this crap on their faces, it's not helping the last years of their lives. It's really not. So they're being psychologically tortured to death, just like kids are right now. But they're probably being starved too. They're probably not being properly taken care of. Those bed sores are probably getting worse. And you know what? Most people probably don't care. But it's not the end of the world. And I really don't think your grandma died of the monkey herpes. They probably died of the cancer or the diabetes or just the random viruses that come along and kill people, or the simple fact that there's a statistical probability that the hospital will kill you. That hospital incompetence is so dangerous that there's a likelihood that just by going to the hospital, you could die, and it's a credible likelihood, way better than winning the lottery. Or the COVID vaccine lottery. I don't even want to talk about that. I do not want to talk about the COVID vaccine lottery. It feels like the worst thing to talk about. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, guys. I just don't know what to say. It's one of those weird subjects that comes up, and I don't know what to say. I get a little tongue-tied in this particular scenario. I think about the reality we're in, and I get a little tongue-tied. Next topic. I don't want to spend too much time on this next subject because I've spoken about it before. I will say this before I move on. We're just in the beginning of the summer, and already the patterns of these heat waves look a little bit weird. But that doesn't really mean anything, because the last 10 years it's looked weird. Last decade plus, we've had this terrible drought on the West Coast. And it doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. And they'll say things like, well, it's only been a drought for a couple years. No, historically, it's been a long-term drought. There's something called the rainfall deficit. And so even if you have 1 year where you get lots of rain, it's the total rainfall. And so in reality, there's been an ongoing drought, and it's just getting worse. And it's hard to say what happens next. But it does go back to the point, you know, just because times are weird and dangerous does not mean it's the end of the world. And in fact, it could mean great challenges, great adventures. It'll be scary. It'll be dangerous. Everybody, it'll be dangerous. But life has always been dangerous. There were people born in a period, in a place, and let's call the place the United States of America. And let's be honest. Let's say that you were Anglo-Saxon, white, basically more or less the political class during that period, 1945 to, let's say, 1995. Maybe the year 2000. There was a period of like 50 years plus where if you were born in that period or born just before it, your view of the world would have almost been forcibly optimistic. Not everybody. Not everybody was included. A lot of people were ignored. A lot of groups were trampled upon in terms of their rights. And listen, let's not have a fake belief system. There was a lot of racism. But there were special people during that time, and the way they look at the world is it's infinite progress, because that's all that they know. That's their awareness. That's their knowledge. All they know is things keep getting better. But if you have a little bit of wisdom and you look at history honestly, you realize this: history is a mess, and most of human history is quite dangerous in that basic sense of life expectancy, you know. I'm about the age throughout most of history. My age right now is when I should be dead. At my age, someone should have taken me into the mountains of Utah. They should have taken me, no, at my age, in the year 2023, Bo Blimdok, in the year 2023, they'll say to you, take your old people, take your dying cat to the body dump. near Sprockton. Take your old uncle, your crazy grandma, to the body dump near Sprockton, Utah, off of I-15. Conveniently located next to Tim's Tacos. You drop off 100 pounds of old grandparents. You get taco credits. Every pound of old grandparents and dying cats equals 3 tacos. Next topic. Here is an Amber Alert on your smart device in the year 2023. You can now eat your kids. You can now eat your kids. You can have at least one of your kids for Christmas dinner. That's an Amber Alert. In 2023. In the 1990s, parents would say to themselves, well, you know what? I put my kid on Ritalin and Prozac and Drexol 38 and Progazium, and I took Drimbazole during my pregnancy because I didn't want to look fat. In the 1990s, parents would say, well, yes, I put drugs into my kids, but at least I don't suffocate them. Then 2020 came, and the parents said, well, I suffocate my kids with a mask, maybe two, but at least I don't eat them. And in the year 2022, the parents say, well, you know what? I'll eat some of my kids, but at least I won't eat my dog. There has to be a line in the sand. There has to be a line. And in the year 2023, someplace in Washington State, a family is sitting around Thanksgiving dinner, shivering, hungry, wanting protein and beans, sitting there in the corner, looking kind of gaunt, but well marbled. Beans. Beans, a French bulldog, sits in the corner. Thanksgiving dinner, 2023. And the family looks at Beans, their Frenchie, in the year 2023, Thanksgiving. And Beans is looking all gaunt and but kind of muscular and muscled and really well marbled like Kobe beef. And it looks like he'd found some old candy bars a few days ago. So he'd been being sugared up. That was good. And so Beans is looking good, looking fit. Yeah, I don't know what parents won't do. When I was living in Seattle last year during a hot summer, it was hot enough on many days, I saw parents putting masks on their kids. Masks, plural, which means more than one, on toddlers, on little kids. And yeah, in most cases, they wore some masks themselves, but in some cases, they didn't. And maybe their argument was, well, I got vaccinated. But clearly, if you read, watch, or listen to the PSYOP news network, which is every network, they'll tell you the vaccines are killing people. The vaccines will turn you into lobster man. The vaccines are murdering people. Don't you think they'd keep that a secret if they could? Think about why Julian Assange and Snowden and people like those people are hunted. They're hunted because they laid bare the actual murders of the United States government, actual Apache helicopters using actual 20-millimeter cannons to actually shred people. Okay? So if you really, really believe the nonsense you believe, don't you think they would keep Lobster Man and all these weird vaccine injuries a secret? Don't you think so? They easily shut they shut me down. They shut lots of people down. So why do you think it's hard not to just shut pretty much all the truth down, which is I think they're pretty much doing. Yeah. I saw parents doing terrible things. I saw parents doing abusive things. It was child abuse to participate in this. It was. Every time a parent, even if it was one of those, well, I gotta do it to buy groceries. I get it. I did it to buy groceries, and I felt like a dirtbag every freaking time I did. I understand why you did it. I understand why I did it. We need to stop. We need to at least embrace the possibility that we've been lied to on a gigantic scale. And the best case scenario, this lie covered up a massive robbery. Best case scenario, your pension funds, your retirement, anything denominated in the US dollar, toast. Best case scenario, that's all toast. That's vapor. That's gone. That's if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, it looks a lot worse than that, and I don't mean the reset, because they'll still be able to feed you dog food during the reset. But believe me, no food is most likely way worse than dog food, or cockroaches, or any of the other scare monkey psyop stories they told people. Next topic. This next one is a quote from Dr. Freckles, and it's actually kind of related to yesterday's podcast when I was talking about the financial situation. First, before I continue, I am not a financial advisor. I don't own any crypto, I don't own any stock. I don't own much of anything except for this reasonably priced Roland. And I own the recorder, the magic of technology recording this podcast so I can make billions. Then I can buy my hookers. Then I can buy my mansion in Robot Spain. Live in Robot Spain. Anyways, here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. It's not an economy, economy. It's not an economy. It's an hallucination. Okay, so the whole U.S. economy, the whole thing, what if right now it's mostly just stuff in your head? Like, I know that anyone will say, well, fiat currency has only value based on confidence. Well, yeah, but all that tells you is that fiat currency is a confidence game, which means it's a con, which means it's a grift. That's all it tells you. It's a con. At some point, any given fiat will, you know, pancake. In the history of fiat currencies, I think for the last 500 years, the average life expectancy of paper money is about 50 years. You could argue that the U.S. went to paper money about 50 years ago, about the time I was born, about the time I was thrown, as Heidegger would say, about the time I was thrown as a rock into the cosmos. They closed the gold window. They closed the gold window back then. That's like defaulting on Bretton Woods, on all the fancy agreements that we all made. They closed the gold window. They closed the gold window, which technically was a default. That's what, when you promise to pay people in gold and then say, well, will you take printed money instead? That's not the same thing. And then when you use all that printed money and derivatives, again, a product of the 70s, like, you know, like Velveeta, when you use derivatives, you can control that. You can actually make it seem as if gold is worthless for a while. At some point, people stop delivering things. If you want to understand when the hallucination ends, understand the simple reality of when it is you actually go bankrupt. Well, you go bankrupt slowly, then all at once. A lot of people are being evicted right now. A lot of people are being kicked into the streets. But for the grace of God and friendship and the luck of meeting people that care, I would be in the streets too. This is reality. Yeah, I have a job right now, and it's paying for a room, and I have food, and I can survive, and I can play the pretend game with the rest of you. I can broadcast this podcast and pretend one day people will go to my PayPal and donate, you know, paypal.com/paypalme/Dr. Freckles. You can find that. But the point is, why would you and why do you have to? You don't have to. Do you have money? If you have money, take care of the people you love first. If you have money, do what you can to stay off the streets. If you have money, do what you can to have storage for extra water. Water, thirst will kill you before hunger. So if you're trying to like prioritize what to think about, food is important, but don't die of thirst. Beyond that, I don't know what to tell anybody these days, really. It's like you should email me, me@imsully.com. Let me know what you think. Maybe you think I'm full of crap. Let me know. If it's not a rude email, if you actually want to have a conversation, there's a good chance I'll read it, because I know and I hope that I'm wrong. I hope everything goes back to whatever funky strip mall normal we all thought existed in 2019. I hope that is what happens. But I don't think that's what's about to happen. This has been the Planetary Status, a status report. I send this message to people in outer space. I want them to communicate with me sometime. WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz. Saturday and Sunday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.